السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمؤمن من أمنه الناس على دمائهم وأموالهم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن مألف، ولا خير في من لا يألف ولا يؤلف، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama ikram, most respected elders and brothers, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and afforded us with this opportunity to present ourselves in the masjid. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable bounties and favors upon us, the greatest of which it is this bounty and this ni'mah and this favor of iman. It is the real treasure that Allah has blessed us with. And the reason for this few words of introduction is that we know that many people have gone through trying times. Just a few days ago, and many of us have come across individuals of this nature, that due to the unrest and the looting, people who at one time had plentiful, but suddenly they have absolutely, many of them have lost everything. Now, one particular student of ours mentioned that they lost the entire home, the business, looted, finished, went back to the house, there's nothing left. Emotional condition. At that time, it is our duty to give some kind of words of encouragement and support. That remember, though we have lost our wealth, the person has lost his home, he's lost so much of his business, and especially the years of effort that is given and is sacrificed to build up that particular business, all of that is completely gone down the drain. It is a very difficult moment for any individual, and we should be extremely sensitive to this. So at that time you have to try and give as much support to the person, and I mentioned to him that make shukr to Allah that your lives are still intact. Imagine if somebody's life was lost in the process, your mother, your sister, some family member's life was gone. Look, a vehicle can be replaced, a business can be replaced, the fixtures, the fittings can be replaced. The moreover, even strip the lights. So the lights too can be replaced. Yes, it's painful. But imagine if a life was lost. Sometimes those lives are irreplaceable. Definitely are irreplaceable, especially if it is a near and dear one. And then I said, but the greatest thing is that your iman is still intact. For a believer, he can lose everything, but if his iman is safe, alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana li hadha. The greatest bounty that Allah has given us is this wealth of iman. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates the suffering of all, but at this moment Allah has given us iman. And as believers, there is no such thing as being despondent. A believer is never ever despondent. To the extent ulama ikram explain that even that believer who's gone far away from the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's led a life of complete disobedience. He has distanced himself from the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even for him too, there is hope. There is hope for even that person. That is why we should never be judgmental of others. Today we find that we are living in a society, very more often than not, we are too busy judging others instead of ourselves. Our late Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the person is concerned about the fly that is sitting on the next person's nose, but he forgets that snake and that python that is wrapped around his own neck. That he forgets about. But he's worried about the fly that is sitting on the next person's nose. This has become our condition, that we're worried about this one and what that one. One person came to our late Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana, you know, I'm convinced about your piety and all of that. There's one thing I'm really worried about. He said, why are you wearing the watch in the left hand? You're supposed to wear the watch in the right hand. So because of that now I'm feeling that, you know, you are not on the right track. So after Maulana had interacted with him for a while, and this person told me himself that he had a massive bond on his house and he was paying interest on that bond. And this is when Maulana mentioned the statement that, can you see how shaitan diverts a person from the real cause and the real poison? That this person is involved in interest-bearing transaction, but is worried about, this can't be a wali of Allah who's wearing his watch on the left hand. And then Maulana explained that, you know, I use the right hand for writing, and the watch sometimes comes in the way. So for me to see the time, it's more practical for me to wear the watch on the left hand. And then, was there really a watch in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we can say that it is definitely sunnah to wear the watch on the right hand? So how shaitan works, he diverts a person from benefiting from a personality because of one or two aspects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we should judge ourselves first. We should look into our own selves and what is our condition before judging the next individual. So nevertheless, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of our communities. However, this unrest has taught us many important lessons. And it would really be unwise of us not to take lessons from what has happened around us. A believer is someone, he takes lessons from everything that he sees around him. We find that this unrest, the cause of this unrest, Allah knows best, but Allah Ta'ala says generally in the Quran Sharif that corruption and mischief becomes prevalent in the land due to your actions, due to the actions of your hands. Therefore, we need to firstly look into our own lives. What has been the condition of our lives? How have we conducting ourselves? Many people had so much of wealth, and Allah Ta'ala suddenly snatched everything away. This is a wake-up call. What we need to realize is that though the person has got a massive bank balance, though the person has got so many businesses, but Allah Ta'ala has the power. That person may have built up his business over 40 years. It may have taken him, he may have inherited it from his grandfather who inherited it from his father. It took generations to build that business up. But Allah Ta'ala made it and made us realize that in a matter of a few hours, one person told me, 4 hours, Maulana, everything destroyed. So in 4 hours, Allah Ta'ala can destroy, and Allah Ta'ala can destroy that entire business that took 40 years or sometimes 100 years to build. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never underestimate the qudra and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in the introduction, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah is the owner of all kingdom. Allah is the Malik and the true owner of all kingdom. And remember that when you have this business, when you have this car, when you have this property, yes, you are a temporary owner. For the sake of the functioning of this world, we have to say that this is the landlord of the property. Can we imagine what will happen if everyone says, well, you know, everything belongs to Allah. So, you know, on the light-hearted note, one person, he went into the farm of another person and he started stealing mangoes. So when the owner came, so the owner said that, "By what are you doing? You're trespassing my property and you're stealing the mango." So he said, "You see, this tree belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This mango belongs to Allah ta'ala. This ground belongs to Allah ta'ala. I belong to Allah ta'ala and I'm just eating that which belongs to Allah ta'ala." So mashallah, that owner was quite sharp. So he took a stick and he started giving him hiding. He said, "Why are you eating me?" He said, "You see, this stick belongs to Allah ta'ala. This hand belongs to Allah Ta'ala. I belong to Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala is dealing with you." So can you imagine the chaos that would take place in this world if we didn't know who the owner of a certain property was? So Allah Ta'ala has given everyone ownership in this world, but we should realize that this is temporary ownership. So to say, we are living in a timeshare apartment in Johannesburg. We are some friends that we know. So the father was a doctor. The father worked hard and purchased the property. And after he purchased the property, he became old, and the son did a deal with the father and then purchased the property from the father. The father passed away, and just recently, due to COVID, the previous wave, the son too passed away. Now look at this. This is what we say when we talk about a timeshare apartment. That first individual, yes, he had ownership of that property, but it was a temporary ownership. It then went on and passed on to the next person who also had temporary ownership. Now that property gets passed on. What we need to realize is that everything in this world that we have is temporary. This world is temporary. So yes, that person built up the business. It took him 40 years to build up. But at the end of the day, he had temporary ownership. Allah decided to take that property sooner. And everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how a person has got a family member, a relative. And this coronavirus has really changed our lives. It is something unprecedented. To say it is some ordinary flu is really an understatement. It is unprecedented. One person, his father went into the hospital, became very, very ill on oxygen, went to the point of almost putting him on a ventilator. The mother got the virus, she got fine. Alhamdulillah, the father recovered. As the father arrived home, the mother just saw the father. Suddenly, Allah made it such, she took a bad turn, and within a few hours, she passed away. So how things have changed. Now to such a person, this was a tragic loss. To that person, to a believer, Allah has given us such a wonderful cure in the Quran Sharif for every ailment. There is a cure for depression. There is a cure for anxiety, Allah says. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. The believers are such that when any musibah, when any affliction, when any calamity comes upon them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything belongs to Allah ta'ala. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we are all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one alim as a shafi, Maftar Sahib rahmatullah, gives a very beautiful example in which he quotes from his sheikh, Shah Abra al-Aqsab, nawrallahu marqadahu. He says that imagine you have a shelf, and the owner of that shelf has got a few different layers. On the top layer, he's got some cups and saucers. On the bottom layer, he's got a few. So now if he has to say, it's an example, that I want to move a few of the cups and saucers from the top level to the bottom shelf. So now we will say that he has every right to do that, because at the end of the day, this entire shelf belongs to him. Now, hypothetically, if the cups and saucers on the top shelf have to say, that, but you know, I am very, very attached to this particular cup and saucer. Why are you moving it down? So now that master will say that, look, with all due respect, but all these cups and saucers belong to me and I can do what I feel like doing. But then the master says, but don't worry. Soon I will also bring you to the bottom shelf. You will also come to the bottom shelf. So for a few days you will be separate. There will be a period of separation. But soon you will also come down to the bottom shelf and once again you will be reunited. In the same way Allah Ta'ala says, that all of you belong to me. Your properties belong to me. Your vehicles belong to me. Your cell phones and your coins and whatever, your bank balances, they all belong to me. And everything will return to me. So, if a person has lost a near and dear one, this is a temporary period of separation. Soon we will all join with our near and dear ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of all those who have lost the near and dear ones, and we make dua that Allah Ta'ala fills the graves of all those who have passed away during this pandemic as shuhada, they are shaheed. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said that the person, the mafhum of the hadith, who passes away in a plague, he is also a shaheed. So they, Allah has given them the maqam or the rank of a shaheed, of a martyr. Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Allah has given them a kind of life which we cannot understand. So what a great rank. We actually should be happy with them. Recently, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib, rahmatullahi, passed away. We mentioned to his son, that look at the death that Allah has granted your father. As much as we all feel the pain, but Allah Ta'ala gave him a Friday, Jum'ah. Allah Ta'ala gave him the maqam of a shaheed. And then Allah Ta'ala gave him a death in the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. So what a great maqam Allah Ta'ala has given an individual. That is why we should never judge others. The only time you can really judge a person is when he's left this world. And that's why Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say that I cannot suffer from pride. He said, because always apne andar ek, you know, fikr, apne aap ko kha raha hu, that there is a fikr that is eating me up from inside. that till Qiyamat ke din, on the day of Qiyamat, I don't know what my condition will be. I don't know whether I will die with Iman. How can I condemn the next person when I do not know that that person has passed away on Iman? Allah has given him such a Mubarak death. What will my condition be? The only time I can really say is that after I have left this world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a Mubarak, a wonderful death on Iman. And Allah unite us in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lessons, respected elders and brothers, we learn is that everything is temporary. Allah can take away that wealth within hours and within seconds. We have seen it with our own eyes. Allah can reduce a person to the level of a wealthy man standing to try and collect bread and milk. Have we not seen it with our own eyes? Allah shows you that you are completely helpless. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have no confidence in your wealth. Have no confidence in your all your diplomas, all your degrees, all your properties. Absolutely, your confidence should be in nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when the person opens his business, he should say, Ya Allah, you are the provider. You are the one who can send the customers to this business. Or if you want, you can reduce this business to the ashes. Therefore, I should never do anything in this business that will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, it doesn't mean that if a certain business person's business was burned, that he was violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be judgmental. That may be a test, a rahmat in disguise, that sometimes Allah ta'ala sends a calamity upon a person to bring that person close to him. You find people who had gone through this calamity, and this person himself mentioned to me, he says, Maulana, now I look at the world differently. I look at the world completely differently. Now I'm only turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows this was not a punishment for him. This was a blessing in disguise that it brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So Allah wants us to turn to him. Therefore, our duty as Muslimin, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدُ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ, that we should take advantage of this opportunity. And mashallah, we have seen many communities where the Muslims have been in the forefront to show, to rise and shine, to show the teaching of Islam, that we will assist the poor, we will assist the needy, irrespective of the color or the race. Remember, and I will repeat this, there is no such thing as racism in Islam. Islam and racism can never be together. They can never be together. It's like the night and the day. It's either light or it's darkness. It's either Islam or racism cannot exist in Islam. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came and he brought the nations together. He destroyed racism from its roots. He shook it out completely, to the extent when the victory of Makkah took place and some Arabs were very upset that how can a Abyssinian slave be allowed to call the Azan? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sure that as a Bilal radiallahu anhu will call the Azan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the Arabs such that those Arabs who at one time despised the brothers who had come from Africa, what was their condition thereafter? That Umar radiallahu anhu used to address Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu as Ya Sayyidi, O my master, O my master. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the love that he offered to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, and look at the love that Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have the time to go into it, but it is mentioned when the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu could no longer even remain in Madinatul Munawwara. The pain was too intense, to the extent that he said that, you know, I'm a person who's very hard-hearted. I'm very tough. I've gone through slavery. I don't ever cry. He says, I've been through difficulty upon difficulty upon difficulty, but never ever did I cry. But he says, now, upon the demise of Rasulullah s.a.w., I cannot stop crying. Can we imagine the effect that it had on his heart? Can we imagine that the love that he received from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the teachings of Islam, respected elders and brothers, that there is no such thing as racism in Islam. There is no place for racism in Islam. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu. That, O mankind, we have created you from man and woman. We have divided you into colors and into races. But what is the reason? لِتَعَارَفُ, so that you can recognize one another. Can you imagine in one family, if everybody looked the same? We have in the madrasa a set of twins. So the teachers, and up till now I can't decipher which is which. So can you imagine in one home, if every child looked the same, or in one masjid, everybody looked the same? There'll be total chaos. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that somebody's color is this, somebody's color is that, somebody is taller, somebody is shorter. But this is the fashioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if we find fault in the creation of Allah ta'ala, we are effectively finding fault in Allah ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you made a mistake with this creation of yours. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Allah says, the most beloved in the sight of Allah is not the one who is most fair, not the one who is most wealthy, not the one who is tallest, not the one who comes from the certain specific tribe, not the one who is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Was Abu Lahab not from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No. Allah says, the most beloved in the eye of Allah ta'ala is the one who's got the highest degree of taqwa. May Allah ta'ala bless us with this quality. There are many lessons. Another important lesson, respected elders and brothers, and I want to terminate on this. That we found our communities getting together, uniting together for a common cause. That we felt that there was a threat on our community, on our properties, on our homes. And whether the person was a Christian, whether the person was a Muslim, whether the person was affiliated to a certain group, but we all found common ground that we all need to get together. Forget about the differences. Let's find a common platform. We need to defend our property. And mashallah, you found that many got together and defended their communities. Of course, there were certain things that took place which were inappropriate, vigilantism and so on. But the main point is that people united to a common cause. And mashallah, look at the stability that it created. Look at the peace and security that it created. We need to take a lesson from this, respected elders and brothers, that there will always be differences amongst ourselves. Let us leave those differences aside. When the Muslim didn't say that, you know what, I'm leaving my Islam and I'm following Christianity. Neither did the Christian say that. Each one stood his ground. We didn't discuss that issue. We found common ground and we worked towards that common cause. We need to find these common platforms and we need to work together and unite towards a common cause. Remember that a united ummah is a powerful ummah. And a divided ummah is a weak ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who voice and become and give support to the voices of unity. And may Allah ta'ala protect us and make us not of those who create further discord and further disunity in an ummah that has already been fragmented into a million pieces. That ummah that Nabi Kareem Sa'asim left in one piece. Today that ummah has been divided into a million pieces. And there are people who are still trying to make an effort to further divide those million pieces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, our common cause. If we could unite with non-Muslims, why can we not divide, unite with our fellow Muslim brothers? Allah has given us iman that unites us. It is a common cause. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to spread love in our ummah. I wanted to speak about the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sa'asim, where a believer should be a place of mahabbat and a place of love. Time does not permit, but we make dua that Allah ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to become embodiments of love, that we give love to others and we attract love from others due to our personality, due to our akhlaq, due to the qualities of Islam and the nurturing of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of our Muslim brothers and alleviate the suffering of our entire fellow companions in this country. May Allah ta'ala change the condition in this province specifically and in the entire country from instability to stability, from insecurity to security, from disunity to disunity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.